1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There are a lot of things that I'm unhappy about in this bill.
But after threatening in a tweet earlier in the day to veto the bill, President Trump is putting his signature on a big catch-all government spending bill that totals $1.3 trillion and will keep the government running through September. Without his signature, the government would run out of money tonight at midnight.
But I say to Congress, I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again. Nobody read it.
The one thing he praises is the big increase in defense spending called for by the bill. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are reacting to the president's choice of John Bolton to be national security advisor. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says the appointment is good news for America's allies. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff tweeted, "Heaven help us." This is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Program has successfully helped over 50,000 people get their life back. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple call to 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. That's 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. We are open 24/7 and all calls are confidential and free. Call now. 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com.
Wall Street's rebounding at least so far today from yesterday's huge sell-off after President Trump signed an executive order imposing billions of dollars in tariffs on Chinese imports. Investors worried about a possible trade war with China, and China sounds like it just might give us one. Meanwhile, presidential advisor Kellyanne Conway denies reports that some on the president's staff were surprised when he went through with these tariffs.
This president could not be more clear of how he has felt about tariffs for China and what he signed yesterday. He's been talking about this for decades. And certainly for 3 years as a candidate, president-elect, and now president. So it's his agenda.
A terrorist gunman who storms into a supermarket in the south of France, screams Allahu Akbar, and then shoots three people dead and takes hostages, is now dead himself. Officials say the Moroccan man was known to authorities. Tens of thousands of young people arriving in Washington now for tomorrow's March for Our Lives rally to call for more gun control after school shootings. And this is USA Radio News.
Jenny had a dream of joining the national bobsled team. She worked out relentlessly and knew that if she just refused to give up, one day her dream would come true and she'd stand triumphantly up on the podium. But when her kids reminded her that she was 52 and she lived in Texas, and maybe she started dreaming this dream a little late in life, she gave up on not giving up. But then she heard how Geico could save her money on car insurance, so she switched and achieved that dream instead.
The Louisiana governor is expressing some support for a bill that would shorten the window for women to get abortions in his state. Governor John Bel Edwards saying on his weekly radio show yesterday that he's, quote, inclined to sign such legislation banning abortions in Louisiana after 15 weeks of pregnancy. State law there currently prohibits abortions, in most cases, after 20 weeks. A proposed law in New York City aims to give employees the right to disconnect from their phones and emails without the fear of being fired. The law proposed this week by a New York City councilman would make it illegal for a company to require workers to access work email and other communications when they're off the clock. Rent prices across America rising at their fastest level in 21 months. That's according to a new survey by Zillow. Details from USA Radio's Wendy King.
The survey found that the median rent rose 2.8% over the past year to $1,445 per month. The fastest rates occurred along the West Coast in Sacramento, Riverside, and Seattle. Sacramento saw the fastest rent rise with 8% last February for an average of $1,849 per month. Home purchases have also suffered due to high mortgage rates, leading to more people opting to rent instead of buying.
That's our Wendy King, and for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We hear an awful lot about the internet and how it was created and how folks, you know, hung out in garages and hooked stuff together and did all sorts of crazy things into the wee hours of the night. But one of the things that we don't often hear is the contributions of women to that process. Here to discuss this with us is Claire Evans. She is the author of Broadband, The Untold Story of Women Who Made the Internet. Claire Evans, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, tell us a little bit about that story. I mean, we hear about Steve Jobs, we hear about Wozniak, we hear about Gates, we hear about all these different folks, and it is a consistently male story. Where are the women?
Oh, the women have always been there. And from the very, very beginning, if you look at the history of even computing, the very first computer program in history was written in 1842 by a woman named Ada Lovelace. Mm-hmm. The very first people to contend with computing machines and design programs for them and make them run and make them do amazing things were women during World War II. After World War II, it was women that led the charge for the development of programming languages as a concept, which underlies, of course, almost everything in our modern world. And women were there at the very beginning of the internet, and the very beginning of the web, and the very earliest online communities. So I think if you're looking for women in the history of computers, you actually don't have to look that far. You just have to look a little bit behind the obvious and many times told stories of Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and all that, and start looking at the very earliest waves of any major technological development in this history, and you will find women were there the whole time.
So why is it that the history that we know does not include these names? Is it just that the history is of the Silicon Valley has been dominated by men? What's the reason that we don't know more about them?
I mean, I would argue that history in general has been dominated by men. But specifically with this history, you know, you see a lot of women in this history in the kind of user-oriented side, so people creating software or creating practical applications for software, computer programs. And a lot of that stuff just hasn't been as privileged in the way that we talk about technology. And, you know, frankly, it's easier to look at a box, at a computer, at a machine, and point at it and say, that's something. You know, that's something that contributed to our world. You can put a computer in a museum. But software is a little bit trickier because it's invisible, right? And it's kind of ephemeral, and it's a lot more difficult to point at and hold on to and acknowledge the value of, because it's something that kind of slips between our fingers. So a lot of this contribution that I profile in the book is these kinds of contributions that are a little bit hidden in plain sight by virtue of what they are, but they're just as significant as anything else. And, you know, in the very, very early days of computer programming, there wasn't a huge distinction between hardware and software, because the people hired to actually operate computers, you know, they were thought of as being on a level with telephone operators or secretaries, because they were flipping switches and they were patching cables and they were, you know, punching holes in cards and feeding cards into machines and all that stuff. You know, it didn't look like serious mathematics. It didn't look like something important. But of course, you know, the way that we do that and the way that we translate, you know, the problems of the world, the mathematical problems of the world, into programs that can actually run on these machines and to make these machines do things that are beyond the imaginations of their creators, that's a very powerful thing. And, you know, that kind of conceptual gesture, if you will, is a huge part of the development of computing as an industry and as a world-changing force.
We're speaking with Claire Evans. She is the author of Broadband, The Untold Story of the Women Who Made the Internet. We hear so many stories coming out of internet companies and out of the Silicon Valley that involve the undervaluing of women, the abuse of women in many situations. How do you see that shifting at all, if indeed you do see it as a result of the current Me Too movement?
Well, you know, I think a lot of, well, we're seeing this in a lot of industries right now, and it's an interesting moment to be alive, because, you know, I think a lot of our long held assumptions about how things work are really changing, because people are claiming their space and they're you know, they're fighting for what they need, which I think is a very beautiful thing. Tech is tricky. You know, it's a super male-dominated environment. I don't think it's going to be overhauled anytime soon, but I do think it's really important for people to understand that, you know, women in tech isn't some kind of new proposition. It's something, you know, women were central to the development of a lot of these technologies, and the fact that it's been a kind of male-dominated scene for the last, you know, 20 or 30 years is just something that's the consequence of, you know, a number of factors, including just marketing, frankly. I mean, computer games and computer video game consoles and computers were marketed aggressively to boys in, you know, the 70s and 80s. And I think it created this sense of entitlement about, you know, who these machines are for. But there's nothing inherently gendered about a computer. A computer is just a, you know, it's an engine that moves symbols around. What we do with it is what counts, and what we bring to it is what counts. So, you know, for me, it's just important to make sure that there is a kind of counter narrative to some of these histories of entitlement, that women can actually see themselves in the past of this thing. It's a lot easier to imagine yourself in the future of anything, a technology or a discipline or anything, if you can see yourself represented a little bit in the past and you have role models and you have mentors and you have, you know, a lineage to hold on to. So that's what I'm trying to create. Whether it changes the industry tomorrow, I don't think so, but at least it's a start. And I hope that people build on my work.
It makes a lot of sense. And I wonder if you have any thoughts about how we go about changing the market, marketing that we have for computers and the internet, so that it is, so that women and girls see themselves as being likely customers for that, because you're right, it is very male dominated. How do we change the messaging around that so that that is something that, you know, can kind of maybe transform the industry from that perspective, from the user end?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of different factors working in concert. Marketing is a big part of it, and I think the more we can create things like, you know, computer games that are accessible to all children, not just boys, not just girls, computer programs that are accessible to all children, but also, you know, more structural things that are in academic and workplace environments. We need to have strong mentorship for young women who are entering the field. We need to have, you know, pay equality. We need to have, you know, working environments that make space for things like childcare and the, you know, the constraints of not just women's lives, but, you know, all of our lives, because all the stuff, you know, it matters for all of us. It makes a workplace a better place if it's more diverse and has more points of view, more perspectives. You can make better products because, you know, what we're dealing with now when we're trying to make software platforms and internet services is we're trying to make things that are supposed to serve the world and serve the communities of the world. And, you know, if only one group of people is designing that software, then it's not going to necessarily, you know, serve the market that it's intended to serve. So if we want to build good products and good experiences and good software, we need to make sure that we're making space for diversity in the workplace. It needs to be seen as a value and not just some kind of concession that needs to be made. You know, women make things better just because more diverse minds working together can make beautiful things. And that's the thing that really needs to change. It's just really a value shift, and an understanding that diversity isn't some concession, but it's something that really brings new value to digital products.
Claire Evans is a technology reporter and the author of Broadband, The Untold Story of the Women Who Made the Internet. Claire Evans, thank you so much for being with us today on Now It's the News.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
Now It's the News. Go to nowitsthenews.com.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dinovite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dinovite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dinovite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dinovite supplement, and then the Lico-Chops.
Try Lico-Chops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dinovite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
This report is brought to you by Amazon. Amazon offers customers participating in select government assistance programs the benefits of Prime for $5.99 per month. This now includes qualifying recipients of Medicaid. Prime members will receive unlimited fast, free shipping on more than 100 million items, Prime Video, Prime Music, Prime Reading, Prime Photos, and more, with the ability to cancel any time. To qualify, customers need a valid EBT or Medicaid card. Pia Arthur, Amazon spokesperson.
We know when people try Prime, they love it. We designed this membership option for customers receiving government assistance to help them access the best of Amazon. To get started, customers will need a valid Medicaid card or electronic benefits transfer card. Customers who join Prime save money and time through our low prices, unlimited premium video and music, as well as our convenient delivery.
For more information or to sign up for a 30-day free trial of Prime, visit amazon.com/qualify.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We've been talking about horror films lately, and we chatted recently with Christina Hendricks, who stars in the film The Strangers Pray at Night, which is at theaters across the country. And we wanted to revisit this because we can't quite get enough of the horror. So we decided to speak with Bailey Madison. She also co-stars in the film. Bailey, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, I got to ask you, what is it like acting in a horror film? First of all, tell us what this is about. You guys, it's a family. You're out at a remote, it's a mobile home park. What sorts of things start happening to you?
Okay, so basically, just to give it like a quick little rundown, The Strangers Pray at Night is a nod to the original The Strangers with Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman, which came out 10 years ago and was greatly received by the audiences. So this is kind of 10 minutes later, the strangers come knocking again, and it's a great nod for anyone who saw the first film, but if you didn't see the first, it's definitely a standalone as well. But it centers on a family of four who are on a road trip to take their daughter to boarding school because she's been acting up lately, and they stop along the way to rest for a night at this kind of retirement trailer park that a relative of their own. And they hear three knocks on the door, and the same three questions from the first movie are asked, is Tamara home? And from that moment forward, kind of everything breaks loose, and this family is scrambling to stay alive.
Wow, that's incredible. How is it that you are able, and I know you have to create a certain environment in your mind when you are on a movie set and you're surrounded by all of the other trappings of lighting and crew and director and everything like that. It may be a little bit different than a stage situation. How do you get yourself in the frame of mind where you can express to an audience that you are truly terrified out of your wits?
I mean, it's obviously such a team effort. Visually, hair and makeup and costumes help immensely. I mean, our lighting department, our fantastic director, Johannes Roberts, who just is, his style for this film is so there, and I think his presence is so there throughout the film that it made it such a wonderful experience. But I also think the nights as well. I mean, we film from 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We, you know, get to set and get home back to our hotel around 9 a.m. I mean, when you're working in the elements and actually in dirt and actually have bugs crawling on you and you're actually filthy and crying, I think that all starts to play mind tricks with you. But I think it's just letting yourself be as free in the material. I think you genuinely have to believe in the story and the script in terms of a horror film. And luckily we all did, and I think every day we just wanted to go in there and just immerse ourselves in the material and give it our best shot every day.
We're speaking with Bailey Madison. She co-stars in The Strangers, Pray at Night. It's playing in theaters across the country right now. Given your experience as an actor, do you have a preference for a particular genre? Does horror really do it for you, or is comedy or drama really your thing?
I'm honestly just a firm believer and supporter in a good script and a good story, be it a comedic piece or dramatic piece or horror. It's really just, you know, whatever story you can connect with for me and that you can believe in. I also love getting to switch it up and challenge myself and myself in different ways. But the horror world is obviously, to me, it's kind of like an actor's dream, because you literally are getting to do something that, Lord willing, you'll never have to experience in your life. Therefore, there's no personal connection that you can draw from your own life. People help you with the character. It's just really relying on your imagination and your mind to just kind of throw yourself into this unusual and uncomfortable world that you've yet to know. And for me, I think that's why horror is such a fun thing to get to do.
My daughter recently turned 18, and over the past couple of years, she has been pushing me to. Well, thank you. And she has been pushing me to see more and more horror films, and especially expose her to some of the classics. I know that she and I have watched together a couple of the great ones, including the Shining and Silence of the Lambs. I know right now The Strangers Pray at Night is at the very top of your list, but next down from that, what are your favorite horror films?
Actually, The Shining was the first film that I think I ever saw, and I remember weirdly, I watched it a bunch when I was younger. I don't really know why. I think I was just, it's just such a fantastic film. Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, that was also early on, showing myself, and I just thought it was so fascinating, so great. Hide and Seek was a film that I watched all the time as well. There's so many classics that I, unfortunately, this does sound bad because of what I'm blessed to do, but I was unaware of, and then I started filming, and I watched the movie, and I started seeing so many references and nods to classics. So for any horror junkie who really does know their horror, there's lots of, like, you know, they call them hidden Mickeys, but it's like little hidden tokens throughout the film that kind of give nods to very classic and cult-based movies, which was fun for me to get to watch and educate myself as well.
Well, that's fantastic. And I will just say also, if you're a fan of The Birds, my wife and I actually spent part of our honeymoon in Bodega Bay, where that was filmed by Alfred Hitchcock back in 64, I think it was.
That is so cool. That's fantastic.
Well, fortunately, we weren't overwhelmed by any wildlife, so it turned out okay. We've been speaking with...
Unfortunately, that's good. Honestly, I don't look at birds the same. It really, and the poor birds in this, like, they didn't even do anything wrong. This movie just gave them such a bad rap. And I look at them now, and I'm like, I'm still petrified.
We've been speaking with Bailey Madison. She co-stars in The Strangers, Pray at Night. It's playing in theaters across the country. Please check it out. Bailey, thanks so much for spending the time with us today.
Thank you. Please go see the film with your daughter. There's been so many great father-daughter stories who've been going and watching it. So I'd love to hear what you think.
Cool. That I will. Okay. Thanks very much. You have a wonderful day.
Have a good one.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
Get to the chopper!
This report is brought to you by Jazz Pharmaceuticals. Feeling tired on occasion is normal, but how do you know if it's something more? Sleep specialist Dr. Raj Dasgupta joins us during Sleep Awareness Week with more.
Having an irresistible and overwhelming urge to sleep may be a sign of excessive daytime sleepiness, or EDS. People with EDS have a hard time staying awake or alert during the day and doze off at inappropriate times, such as during a meal or in the middle of a conversation. It's important to know the difference between normal and excessive daytime sleepiness because EDS can be a symptom of a sleep disorder like narcolepsy.
If you're having trouble staying awake during the day or experiencing other sleep-related problems, it may be time to talk to your doctor. To learn more about narcolepsy, take the Narcolepsy Symptom Screener, or to find a sleep specialist near you, visit morethantired.com. That's morethantired.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There are a lot of things that I'm unhappy about in this bill.
But after threatening in a tweet earlier in the day to veto the bill, President Trump is putting his signature on a big catch-all government spending bill that totals $1.3 trillion and will keep the government running through September. Without his signature, the government would run out of money tonight at midnight.
But I say to Congress, I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again. Nobody read it.
The one thing he praises is the big increase in defense spending called for by the bill. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are reacting to the president's choice of John Bolton to be national security advisor. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says the appointment is good news for America's allies. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff tweeted, "Heaven help us." This is USA Radio News.
So you're interviewing a candidate, and he starts asking you questions. You're surprised. You're supposed to be the one leading the meeting. How does he know so much? About the culture, the leadership, and where did he find out about the takeover? Don't panic. It's not you. This is what it feels like to interview a well-prepared candidate. He's read about your company on Indeed.com and has immersed himself in your culture. Or he may just be the world's most perfect interviewee. Either way, he's making your job easier. So enjoy it.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies, from both employers as well as past and present employees. You can research work-life balance, salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more, helping you to make informed decisions, all on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site, according to ComScore total visits.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. If you've been paying attention to the news in the last year or so, you may have heard rumblings in a couple of different cases of a massive uncovering of international tax havens, of different means of very wealthy people have of hiding their money, their funds, in different places around the world in such a way as they cannot be taxed by the governments of the world. And foremost among the ways that this has been done has been a law firm, a Panamanian law firm called Mossack Fonseca. This was revealed in a set of papers called the Panama Papers because of the location and the tax laws involved around that. We have with us today Jake Bernstein. He is the author of Secrecy World, Inside the Panama Papers. Jake, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you for being here.
No, thank you for having me, Derek.
Sure thing. So tell us about Mossack Fonseca. Sounds like the name of a Bond villain, frankly. But this is really an illegal and a tax. It's not nearly as dramatic as a Bond villain. It's kind of dry and complicated in a way, but just as nefarious. What did they do, and on what scale did they do it?
You know, Mossack Fonseca, this Panamanian law firm, it's named after the two principal partners, Jürgen Mossack and Ramon Fonseca. And they had sort of rather an audacious idea. They wanted to make this sort of secret offshore system more widely available. So it wouldn't just be for the uber wealthy. It would also be for the merely rich, and particularly in the developing world, but everywhere. It was sort of, their vision was kind of the McDonald's of anonymous secret shell companies. High volume, low cost. And they end up flooding the world with more than 240,000 sort of companies and foundations and trusts, these sort of offshore entities. And that's, ends up covering 21 different tax havens. And what actually happens is all the data of this law firm for a period of 30 years gets leaked to a German newspaper called Süddeutsche Zeitung, based in Munich. And they in turn share it with an organization called the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. And ICIJ distributes it to more than 100 media organizations. And they begin to dig through what turns out to be 11.5 million documents. All told, actually more than that. And we discover, more than 140 politicians from more than 50 countries and heads of state, their families and associates, ministers, elected officials, drug traffickers, Ponzi schemers, and then lots and lots of people who were legally avoiding taxes, or engaged in illegal tax evasion. But what it allowed us to see really for the first time in a comprehensive way, because Mossack Fonseca was one of the top five providers of offshore anonymous shell companies in the world, what it really allowed us to see was this, you know, exactly how this system works. And there's really trillions of dollars that flow through this underground economy. And we got sort of a glimpse of that in an unprecedented way. And that's what my book, Secrecy World, is really about.
We're speaking with Jake Bernstein. He is the author of A Secrecy World. As you mentioned, there's nothing technically illegal about what's being done here. But I thought in your book you laid out right at the beginning a pretty good example of what one individual did in order to obtain a home for a family member tax-free. And I'm wondering if you could take us through that briefly just to kind of trace the complicated route that it takes in order to make sure that these funds are protected from governments.
Sure, absolutely. And this is, you know, a lot of this operates in a gray area, right? The place where tax avoidance, which is sort of technically legal, becomes tax evasion, is sometimes the determination of a government or, you know, a tax authority or a prosecutor. And until they make that determination, it is ostensibly legal, right? It's tax avoidance. But the example that I chose, because I thought it did kind of cover things in this way, involves a Mexican businessman who had quite a bit of money of disposable income, not entirely clear where that money came from. And he had a sister who was in Seattle, and she had a kid, his niece, and the sister was involved in a nasty divorce. And so the businessman in Mexico wanted to buy a house in Seattle, a $500,000 house, for his sister and her child. But he didn't want the husband to know, because he didn't want it to become part of the divorce proceedings. And so he goes to Mossack Fonseca, and Mossack Fonseca creates a company in Delaware, a shell company in Delaware. Delaware is one of the biggest players in this business. People don't realize that the United States is, in fact, perhaps the leading tax haven in the world, driven by Delaware and Wyoming and Nevada, which are big players in this world. I mean, Delaware makes more than $1 billion a year in fees just from the its business registry, which creates all of these anonymous shell companies. So they create this Delaware company for this Mexican businessman. And the problem, though, is that he is the sole shareholder of this Delaware company. So it doesn't quite provide enough. He's the member. He's, you know, you can kind of find that out. So if the Delaware company buys the house in Seattle, it could eventually be traced back to him, and that's no good. So they also create a Panamanian Foundation, and the Panamanian Foundation owns the Delaware company, which will in turn own the house. And in that way, it's almost impossible to figure out exactly who owns the house, because if you go to the Panamanian Foundation, the ostensible owners of the foundation are in fact Mossack Fonseca employees. So it would be impossible to really get to this Mexican businessman, let alone figure out where his money is coming from, which was used to buy the house. And this is actually a real issue, because property prices are skyrocketing in cities across the land, in Miami, in New York, in Los Angeles, in San Antonio, all over the place. And part of that is because foreigners are using anonymous shell companies to buy up property. And it's really just to park cash. They're not planning to live there. It's a safe investment. In fact, they're not even that concerned that they make money on the investment. They just want a safe place to put their money because they're afraid that it's not safe in the country where they're from. And oftentimes, that's perfectly fine, right? I mean, it's legal. There's no problem. But there's also a huge amount of money laundering going on, and, you know, corrupt officials in places like China that are taking bribe money and translating it into apartments in New York City. And what this does is it drives up the prices for all the other people who live in these cities, you know, the actual residents who can now no longer afford to buy a house or an apartment, or are paying skyrocketing rent because foreigners are using anonymous shell companies to park money and property in these cities. So it is, in fact, a serious issue, and one that, even though we don't realize it, affects millions of people all over the country.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
This report is brought to you by Amazon. Amazon offers customers participating in select government assistance programs the benefits of Prime for $5.99 per month. This now includes qualifying recipients of Medicaid. Prime members will receive unlimited fast, free shipping on more than 100 million items, Prime Video, Prime Music, Prime Reading, Prime Photos, and more, with the ability to cancel anytime. To qualify, customers need a valid EBT or Medicaid card. Pia Arthur, Amazon spokesperson.
We know when people try Prime, they love it. We designed this membership option for customers receiving government assistance to help them access the best of Amazon. To get started, customers will need a valid Medicaid card or electronic benefits transfer card. Customers who join Prime save money and time through our low prices, unlimited premium video and music, as well as our convenient delivery.
For more information or to sign up for a 30-day free trial of Prime, visit amazon.com/qualify.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points.
And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Jake Bernstein. He's the author of Secrecy World. There's so many implications to what you're talking about, just in terms of affordability in these big cities, and then, of course, the fact that the states and communities involved don't receive the tax money in many cases if you're sheltering from taxes, and the legal implications of where did this money come from, how was it gained, and you're talking in this one case about a particular property that's worth about $500,000. And you're talking about one businessman who may be wealthy, but certainly is not wealthy on the scale of billions and in some cases of trillions of dollars that is involved in this global traffic of protected funds. But you are talking about the same complicated chain in order to try and not try and keep the information about who this is, try and keep the information away from the government, trying not to pay taxes within any very stretched legal means. I mean, talk to us about the scale of this. I mean, we're talking about companies that we're very familiar with, people that we're very familiar with, Apple, using legal means to keep their money from being taxed in the United States or in other high tax areas, and then shopping it around very clearly, and these are not the only revelations that we've been talking about. This is not just individual people. You use that to illustrate how it works, but these are billions and trillions of dollars that are being protected in this really insane, complicated way, and this is money that should be subject to taxation by governments and providing social services to people who are not getting those benefits, that money in an increasingly difficult and inequitable global economy.
I mean, Derek, you put your finger on it. I mean, the sums are vast. So we're talking, the U.S. Treasury's sort of estimate is that as much as $300 billion a year is laundered through the United States. And that is illegal activities like drug trafficking and corruption and terrorism. And each year worldwide, individuals are avoiding paying $2.5 trillion in income tax worldwide. But just in the United States, the United States loses $70 billion a year in tax revenue just from corporations shifting profits to tax havens. And so when our government is crying poor and saying we don't have enough money for education, for health care, for infrastructure, the reality is that the money is available. It's just being lost to these tax havens and these complicated schemes. And some of it, much of it is legal and much of it is not. And because of the anonymity, this cloak of secrecy that I describe in my book, Secrecy World, you really can't distinguish between the two.
because
given your research and what you've looked at in this, what do you think of the idea that many have proposed about a tax amnesty or tax holiday in terms of bringing back money to the United States? Is that an effective way of doing things, given the options that these very wealthy people and global corporations have at their disposal?
Well, this is an interesting question, right? So under this new tax bill that they just passed before the new year, they've lowered the corporate tax rate to 21%, right, for corporations that bring their money back. But if you're Apple or you're Nike and you're paying as little as 8% or maybe 0% because you've got, you know, a top-flight accountant at Price Waterhouse or Ernst & Young or wherever helping you, you know, move your money around and use different schemes to avoid paying any taxes, why will you bring your money back to the United States and pay 21% when you can pay 0% somewhere else?
Right.
I mean, it seems doubtful, but there are actual reasons why you might do that, right? You might bring some money back because you want to pay dividends. And so that would be a reason why it might be, it might be favorable to just take a bite and take that 21% tax rate. Or you might need it for litigation fees, you know, for fines or settlements or things like that. So there are some cases where it makes sense. But by and large, you know, the promises that have been made about, you know, huge amounts of money being repatriated back to the United States because of lower tax rates just doesn't really seem likely to me. I mean, we'll see, right? Maybe it will happen, but I'm skeptical.
We're speaking with Jake Bernstein. He's the author of Secrecy World Inside the Panama Papers. I'm a guy sitting in the middle of the country. I got a job. I go to work. I commute. I pay taxes. I'd like to pay less taxes. And I see news reports coming out about people trying to avoid taxes, doing it successfully. And my first instinct is not necessarily to say, this is a bad thing. It might be to say, well, yeah, I'd like to be doing that too. What's the impact on them of all this activity?
Well, I mean, this is absolutely true, right? Nobody likes to pay taxes, right? And everybody would like to pay less in taxes. And in fact, you know, we should all avail ourselves of whatever is legally available to do so. The thing is that there are things that are available to people who are really wealthy that are not available to everyone else. So 50% of the wealth held in tax havens belongs to households with more than $50 million in net wealth. So it's really the uber wealthy increasingly that are taking advantage of this. And these people look at the world slightly differently than I think probably you and I do, right? They are truly transnational. You know, they have houses in New York and in London and in some place sunny, and they live on private jets, and they send their kids abroad for school, and they don't, you know, the United States, you know, might be the place where they were born, or it might be the place where they make their money, but they don't seem to have the same sense of obligation and nationalism that people who most people who live here probably do. Yeah. So it's kind of this system sort of allows a different world, and it has fed into and grown with a gaping inequality that has become a serious problem, and it is enabled by this offshore system. So at the end, it becomes a question of fairness, right? I mean, you and I pay our taxes, and we grumble, you know, understandably, and we try to avoid as much of it as possible, but we're not really doing the kinds of things that the mega wealthy are doing. And, of course, they are, their avoidance of taxes and sometimes evasion of taxes is much more consequential than whatever we do because, you know, we don't make as much money.
Right. Well, F. Scott Fitzgerald said it 90 years ago, and it still applies today. The rich are different than you and me. And somehow I don't think that the guy down the street sitting on his couch cracking a beer watching the game is necessarily going to go to Grand Cayman anytime soon to visit his billions of dollars. So there is a real difference. We've been speaking with Jake Bernstein. He's the author of Secrecy World: Inside the Panama Papers. Jake, it's an important topic. It's a fascinating read, and I appreciate you being with us here today to discuss it.
Well, thank you so much, Derek. I appreciate that.
Droppo, you are the laziest man on Mars. Why are you sleeping during working hours? Happy train.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Now It's the News. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy train.
This report is brought to you by Jazz Pharmaceuticals. Feeling tired on occasion is normal, but how do you know if it's something more? Sleep specialist Dr. Raj Dasgupta joins us during Sleep Awareness Week with more.
Having an irresistible and overwhelming urge to sleep may be a sign of excessive daytime sleepiness, or EDS. People with EDS have a hard time staying awake or alert during the day and doze off at inappropriate times, such as during a meal or in the middle of a conversation. It's important to know the difference between normal and excessive daytime sleepiness because EDS can be a symptom of a sleep disorder like narcolepsy.
If you're having trouble staying awake during the day or experiencing other sleep-related problems, it may be time to talk to your doctor. To learn more about narcolepsy, take the Narcolepsy Symptom Screener, or to find a sleep specialist near you, visit morethantired.com. That's morethantired.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
This indictment alleges that the defendants worked on behalf of the Iranian government.
Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein referring to nine Iranians indicted in a massive cyber theft case. They're accused of hacking into computer systems at major universities and U.S. government systems.
For the stated purpose of helping Iranian universities access scientific research.
The DOJ concedes it's unlikely the nine will ever face trial here in the United States.
I will never sign another bill like this again.
President Trump reluctantly signing a $1.3 trillion spending bill to keep the government running into September. He says, though, it includes too much unnecessary spending and was only completed 24 hours before the vote, which means no one had a chance to read it. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Whoa, what do you have there?
It's a Reason Irvy's frozen yogurt. We just had our robot make one.
A robot made your frozen yogurt?
Yes, from Reese and Irvy's, the world's first fully interactive robot vending machine that serves 9 flavors of delicious yogurt with 6 amazing toppings. And it's available for an exclusive franchise opportunity.
Wait, you mean I can own my own frozen yogurt robots?
And make money at the same time. These robots are the future of frozen yogurt franchising. They can be placed almost anywhere and operate 24/7. Malls, theme parks, grocery stores, you name it.
A robot that serves frozen yogurt. That's revolutionary.
Exactly. Reese and Irvy's Froyo robots are taking the market by storm. No more messy yogurt bars, long lines, or do-it-yourself machines. Just delicious frozen yogurt in 60 seconds or less. Anytime, anywhere.
How do I get my own Reese and Irvy's robots?
It's easy, but you better act now. Locations and machines are going fast. Just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 8080. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 8080.
French officials say a terrorist gunman who shot and killed 2 people and took hostages in a supermarket in the south of France earlier today has been killed. They say he pledged allegiance to ISIS when he started firing on officers. Outgoing National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster says he's requesting retirement from the Army and leaving public service now that President Trump has let him go as NSA, hiring John Bolton, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, to succeed him beginning on April 9th. Meanwhile, as some wonder about the rapid-fire changes in Trump personnel in recent weeks, former Republican President